Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Things That Go Bump in the Night. This is JC Bratton coming to you from San Jose, California. On tonight's episode, we're going to preview the podcast audio drama of Who's Back at the Door. Who's Back at the Door is the fourth story in the Things That Go Bump in the Night Urban Legends series. The first story is Who's at the Door, the second is Parasomnia, and the third is Dollhouse. Who's Back at the Door is the fourth short story and ties in elements from all three other tales. Now, before you listen to Who's Back at the Door, it's best that you have heard of or read through the previous stories. Now, we're going to be dropping about two episodes at a time, and it's really important to probably subscribe to our main Spotify channel, which is going to be linked at www.bluemilk.co. And then these episodes will be available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. So in the meantime, sit back and relax and listen to the first two episodes of Who's Back at the Door, performed by our good friends at Floor 5 Theater Company.
Prologue. The Ohio State University campus, October 3rd, 2017.
So, Jamie and Mark got back together again.
Shelley Patel rolled her eyes as she took a sip of her latte. Chatter filled a campus Starbucks, but Shelley and her friend Steve were still able to make conversation.
I still don't understand what Jamie was so upset about. I mean, Mark is like the most avoided boyfriend ever.
Shelley's tone was a bit somber.
Do I sense a bit of jealousy?
Steve asked as he ate his croissant.
No, Jamie's my girl. Chicks before dip. Shoot, I need to get back. I'll see you tonight?
Of course.
Steve gave Shelley a warm smile as she headed out. Shelley ran back to her North Campus dorm before it started to rain. She needed to get ready for rush events followed by a huge party at the Tri-Delta house. Steve acted as Shelley's plus one, a role he played since high school. She hoped that Jamie would still be available, as it was critical for Shelley to get Jamie's opinion about the dress she planned to wear at the party. To make matters worse, her phone died, so she desperately needed her charger. It was a little past 3:30 p.m., and the dorm hallway was dimly lit. There were periodic rumbles from the thunderstorm brewing outside. As Shelley approached room 1138, something didn't seem right. The door was slightly open.
That's odd,
Shelley muttered. Then she slowly pushed the door.
Jamie?
There was someone in the room, but it was not Jamie. It was a woman with long, dark hair covering her face and pale skin. She wore a white gown. The woman turned straight to Shelley and growled. Shelley screamed in terror and ran as fast as she could down the hallway. The lights began to flicker, and Shelley could still hear the growling from the woman, as if she was following her. Not turning her back to see, Shelley quickly ran down the staircase and opened the door to the first floor. On the other side of the door was Tabitha, a resident advisor for the dorm.
Help! She's after me!
Who? Who's after you?
Tabitha questioned and looked around and up the staircase.
There's no one here. Look!
Panting, Shelley hesitated and then turned around to see an empty staircase. Suddenly, there were footsteps. Shelley screamed.
Hey, I'm not that scary.
Tom Doyle, a freshman, remarked in a sarcastic tone as he waved his hands up in the air and proceeded down the staircase.
What is your name?
Tabitha asked.
Shelley. Shelley Patel from room 1138.
Okay, Shelley, what exactly happened?
I roomed with my friend Jamie. The door was slightly open, and I saw a woman with dark hair and a white gown. She began growling at me. It frightened me, and I ran down the stairs.
You have no idea who this woman is.
Not in the slightest. Also, I didn't see Jamie. I hope she's okay. My phone is dead. I have no idea if she's been trying to call me.
Shelley took out her phone and stared at a blank, lifeless screen.
Well, Shelley, let's head to the campus police station and see if they can help.
No, Mrs. Wilson. It's rush week. That naked boy in your yard wasn't trying to invade your home.
Officer Julian couldn't help but snicker as she overheard her colleague on the phone. As the conversation continued, Shelley and Tabitha entered the office.
Hey, Tabitha. What's going on?
My name is Shelley Patel.
Shelley interjected before Tabitha could speak.
I live at Swift Tower, room 1138, with my roommate Jamie Patterson. There was a strange woman who was in our room. She had long, dark hair and wore a white gown.
Officer Julian's colleague immediately hung up the phone and gave Shelley an inquisitive look.
A woman in white?
Shelley nodded nervously in agreement.
I'm Officer Scott. So your roommate's name is Jamie Patterson. Long dark hair. Her boyfriend is Mark Stevens.
Shelley and Tabitha looked at each other in amazement as Officer Scott spoke those words.
I used to work for the county sheriff. I had a mishap that involved Jamie and Mark this past summer. It led me to my demotion and assignment here at campus police.
Officer Scott rolled his eyes.
So can you help us, Officer Scott?
Shelley asked anxiously. Officer Scott pulled up Shelley and Jamie's records on his computer.
You're at Swift Tower. We have some surveillance cameras. Officer Julian can look through the last 24 hours of footage. While she does that, let's head back to the room. Who knows? Jamie might be back as well.
It was close to 6 p.m. and the storm had passed. Shelley, Tabitha, and Officer Scott walked down the hallway to the dorm room. The door was wide open.
Wait here,
Officer Scott commanded. He walked through the suite, checked each door, looked under each bed, checked the lounge, the bathroom. No sign of anyone.
Well?
Tabitha asked.
Is the coast clear?
Yeah,
Officer Scott shouted.
Come in.
Shelley found her charging cable and was able to glance at her messages. There was a text from Jamie at 3 p.m.
Shell, I'm heading to the library this afternoon. I hope to be back by 5.
Oh no,
Shelley exclaimed.
Jamie's text says she should have been back by 5. It's 6 p.m.
Officer Scott's phone rang. It was Officer Julian. He placed her on speakerphone.
Hey, Julian. What'd you find?
You've got to see this in person. You all should get back down here, now!
The group headed back to the campus police station and found Officer Julian studying the camera footage on her computer.
Hey, this is super weird. As you can see here, at 3:33 p.m., the door to room 1138 suddenly opens as if on its own. Then, around 3:35, we see Shelly enter in and then run out of the room and down the hall. But then, look what happens. Shelly, based on what you claimed, there should be a woman in white following you. That's not the case.
Oh my god. That's Jamie!
Clipping from the Columbus Dispatch, October 20th, 2017. Information wanted on the whereabouts of Jamie Ann Patterson, 18, who has been missing since October 3rd. She was last seen leaving her dorm at Swift Tower on the OSU campus. Her roommate, Shelly Lynn Patel, 18, witnessed a mysterious woman present at the time Jamie was last seen. The only sign of potential vandalism was Ms. Patel's mirror. It was found with a large crack running diagonally through it.
Chapter 1. Present Day. Jamie was gone. After 7 years, Mark finally accepted that fact. Even though the video footage from Swift Tower, Shelley's testimony, and everything Mark had witnessed, the idea that Bloody Mary, a childhood urban legend, was behind Jamie's disappearance, didn't sit well with the authorities. In fact, the Waverly County Sheriff's Office, the department that knew Bloody Mary was real, would not assist.
This case is not in my jurisdiction, young Mark.
Sheriff King said sympathetically.
I'm sorry that Miss Jamie is missing, but my hands are tied.
Even Jamie's parents were skeptical. With the video footage showing Jamie leaving on her own, and the fact that many young women go missing, they felt it had to have been an abduction. The local television show Missing released an episode on November 18, 2017 that discussed the facts of Jamie's disappearance and featured Mr. and Mrs. Patterson.
Jamie is our baby.
Mr. Patterson spoke directly to the camera while tears rolled down his face.
We need her back home safely. If you know anything about our Jamie, please contact the authorities. We beg of you.
There was no mention of Shelley's encounter with the woman in white, and no one dared to bring up Bloody Mary. Things That Go Bump in the Night radio and podcast host Pete Williams, however, suspected it was Bloody Mary all along. There had been an influx of supernatural or paranormal events since the death of Dr. Scott Collier, the scientist from MIT who may have inadvertently opened a portal to another dimension, one in which urban legends were real.
Mark,
Pete said in a serious tone over the phone one night,
I'm receiving reports of very unusual phenomena. A man in a fedora haunting people in their sleep. A set of Japanese dolls that are possessed. Mobile apps that know when you are going to die. Yet, the authorities just want to bury this. When science and convention offer us no answers, might we not finally turn to the fantastic as a possible explanation?
Rather than focusing on his schoolwork and internship with the Jet Propulsion Lab at Caltech, Mark spent most of his time chasing leads with Pete. It led to Mark's academic suspension after his sophomore year. Although Mark's parents were not happy about him ignoring his college education, they did their best to support their son and helped fund his travels with Pete. But after 7 years of wild goose chases, even Mark's parents had enough.
Mark, we know how much Jamie meant to you, but it's really time to move on.
Mark's mom said in a firm tone.
These investigations with Pete have to stop. Look, we worked it out with Jamie's dad. He's willing to give you a job at Patterson AI, but this Bloody Mary business has to stop now.
Mark thought it over. Maybe they were all right. Maybe it was just time to move on. Shelley worked at Patterson AI in the procurement department. She adjusted back to normalcy. In fact, she blew up at Mark about 5 years prior.
Mark, I just can't anymore,
Shelley said in a serious tone.
Yes, I think I saw something in the dorm hallway that night, but I'm sick and tired of you and Pete bugging me for more details. There's nothing more I can offer you. Please, Mark, move on or get some professional help.
Could Mark really move on? What else could he do? He lost his chance at Caltech. His friends thought he was crazy, and his parents were going to cut him off. He could move to Nevada and crash with Pete. But for what result? 7 years and no sign of Jamie. Mark sided with practicality. He took the offer from Jamie's dad. It was a full-time engineering role with a great benefits package and stock in the company. A condition of his employment, however, was that he no longer stay in contact with Pete Williams.
I'm sorry, Pete. It's time for me to just move on,
Mark told Pete over the phone.
But Mark, we're so close. Dr. Paul Yang, the Silicon Valley parapsychologist, may have a lead for us.
No. No, Pete. No more leads. I'm just done.